What if I told you that the strongest, most complex steel on Earth wasn't actually discovered in some fiery forge, but like inside the cold, dark logic of a computer algorithm?
It's pretty wild to think about, yeah.
It really is. I mean, for thousands of years, inventing a new metal meant physical, sweaty, trial-and-error work, right? You melt iron, you throw in some carbon, smash it with a hammer, and, well, you just see if it shatters.
Exactly. But today we're looking at how code is essentially replacing the blacksmith.
Right, because you sent us this incredibly dense stack of research. And welcome to the deep dive, by the way. We've been trying to wrap our heads around this complete paradigm shift in heavy industry.
Yeah, it's a paper from the journal Materials Science and Technology, published way back in 2007, actually.
Right, by researchers S. Chatterjee, M. Murugananth, and HKDH Padatia. And it details the creation of this thing called Delta Trip Steel.
Yeah, and the really defining aspect of this research is that, well, these scientists didn't just stumble upon this metal in a lab.
They didn't just mix stuff together and get lucky.
No, not at all. They deliberately designed its molecular architecture using a combination of neural networks and genetic algorithms.
Which is just mind-blowing.
Right. So, the physical backdrop of metallurgy has completely shifted. You're no longer looking at a furnace. You're looking at these glowing streams of algorithmic code, literally calculating the stress points of a material before a single piece of ore is ever pulled from the ground.
Okay, I want to focus on that exact phrase, neural networks and genetic algorithms.
Sure.
Because those are concepts we usually hear thrown around by, like, software developers trying to build search engines or, chatbots, not by engineers pouring heavy steel.
It does seem like a weird crossover.
Yeah. So how do those two pieces of software actually collaborate to invent a physical metal?
They basically function as a two-part digital brain. The genetic algorithm is the generator, and the neural network is the judge.
Okay, generator and judge. Makes
So
sense.
the genetic algorithm creates this massive population of potential steel recipes. It throws together different percentages of iron, carbon, manganese, aluminum, all that stuff.
Right.
And then the neural network, which has been trained on just massive databases of historical metallurgical data, it looks at those recipes and mathematically predicts how strong or brittle each one would be.
So it's less like breeding perfect racehorses, which I know is the cliche analogy for genetic algorithms. And it's more like having a million digital chefs trying to bake a cake. Like the genetic algorithm takes the recipe from a chef who made a cake that was too sweet, combines it with one from a chef whose cake was too dry.
Tweaks the baking temperature slightly.
Exactly. And forces them to bake a new generation of cakes. And just repeats this thousands of times.
Yeah, and with every single generation, the neural network essentially pastes the digital cake, grades it, and tells the genetic algorithm which traits to keep and, which to discard.
It's constantly selecting for the chemical traits that best fit the ultimate goal.
Exactly, but that actually brings up the primary hurdle of this entire paper.
Right, because the researchers didn't just tell this AI to, like, make a strong steel.
No, they gave it a highly specific, notoriously difficult constraint. They told it to keep the silicon concentration low.
Okay, why is keeping silicon low such a massive problem? Like, what does silicon normally do in steel that makes it so hard to get rid of?
Well, silicon is normally a critical crutch in high-strength steels, specifically in trip steels, because of how it controls carbon.
Okay, how so?
When you cool steel down, the carbon inside naturally wants to clump together with iron to form this compound called cementite.
And cementite is bad, I'm assuming.
Very bad if you want strength.
Yeah.
Cementite makes the metal super brittle, so silicon acts like a microscopic barrier. It physically prevents that cementite from forming.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, which allows the carbon to stay dissolved in the metal exactly where the engineers want it.
So if silicon is doing all this heavy lifting to stop the metal from becoming brittle, why on earth did the researchers tell the AI to get rid of it?
Because in the real world of manufacturing, especially in like the automotive industry, high silicon is a total nightmare.
Really? Why?
It creates this oxide layer on the surface of the steel that makes it incredibly difficult to galvanize.
Oh, right, for rust prevention.
Exactly. If you can't properly coat the steel in zinc, it's going to rust. So the engineers gave the AI this agonizing puzzle, like design a steel that possesses all the advanced microscopic properties that silicon usually provides, but do it without using the silicon.
Which sounds impossible, because when you remove the silicon, you can't just leave a hole in the recipe.
No, you have to adjust everything else.
Right, you have to adjust the carbon, the manganese, the heating temperatures, the cooling times. The number of possible chemical combinations just explodes into this massive, multidimensional problem.
It really does.
If a human tried to solve that through physical trial and error in a lab, you know, just melting things down one by one, it would take multiple lifetimes.
Oh, absolutely. But a neural network navigates those countless variables in a digital space in days. It runs millions of simulations to solve for that exact restriction.
And the crazy thing is, it actually succeeded.
It really did.
The mathematical blueprint the AI spit out, the exact composition by weight percentage, it's just this highly specific recipe.
Yeah. Do you have the numbers there?
I do. It called for 0.4 1% carbon, 2.4 2% manganese, and critically, a drastically reduced 0.46% silicon.
All right, the 0.46 is the key there. The AI did exactly what it was told.
It's like a Michelin star recipe. And to make up for that missing silicon, the AI bumped up the aluminum to 1.57% and the phosphorus to 0.26%.
Yeah, it mathematically figured out that aluminum and phosphorus could essentially team up to suppress the cementite formation, but without ruining the surface of the metal the way silicon does.
So the AI solved the chemistry problem. But, you know, chemistry on a screen doesn't build a bridge.
No, you have to actually make the stuff.
Right. So when they took this digital recipe and actually melted the physical iron, what did it look like? The paper describes a novel microstructure consisting of delta ferry dendrites alongside a residual phase.
Yes.
When we say dendrite, are we talking about the metal physically freezing into the shape of tree branches?
Basically, yeah. At the microscopic level, yes. As this specific liquid metal cools and begins to solidify, it doesn't just freeze into a solid uniform block of ice.
Because of the different elements in the mix.
Exactly. Because of this specific mix of elements the AI chose, parts of the liquid freeze faster than others. So the solid iron, which takes this crystalline form known as delta ferrite, it shoots out these microscopic tree-like branches into the remaining liquid.
Oh, wow.
And these branches just lock into place.
And the supplementary materials actually show this, which is so cool. They include this whole series of micrographs.
Yeah, the picture's taken through the high-powered microscope.
Mm. Right, and they're labeled as cast, meaning this is the raw metal exactly as it solidified from the liquid state. You can literally see these intricate interlocking branches of steel.
And the spaces between them are filled by a different structure, which is the residual phase.
It's wild. They essentially took a picture of the computer's math made physically real.
It's a huge moment. The visual verification is just crucial. But that as cast state with the tree-like dendrites, that's really only the raw starting point.
Right.
To unlock the immense strength the AI predicted, the metal has to undergo this whole thermal metamorphosis. The paper notes that at high temperatures, the residual phase sitting between those branches is a structure called austenite.
Wait, hold on. If the AI perfectly designed the chemical recipe from scratch, why do we even need a complex heat treatment?
Wow.
Shouldn't the ultimate chemical makeup be enough to give it that strength without having to bake it afterward?
I get why you'd think that, but that is the fundamental difference between chemical composition and physical architecture. Chemistry only gives you the potential. Heat is what gives you the final structure. In metallurgy, you use highly precise heat treatments to force the atoms inside the solid metal to physically rearrange themselves, but without ever melting the metal again.
Oh, so it stays solid the whole time.
Exactly. This is called a solid state phase transformation. So the authors applied a very specific thermal cycle to force that high-temperature austenite to partially transform into something called bainitic ferrite.
Bainitic ferrite. Got it.
Yeah.
And as it transforms into that, it forces all the leftover carbon into whatever austenite is remaining, right? Which makes it incredibly stable.
Yes, exactly. And the paper calls this carbon-enriched retained austenite.
Okay, here is where it gets really interesting. Because we've mentioned the term TRIP steel several times without actually explaining the core mechanism.
We should probably do that.
Yeah. TRIP stands for transformation-induced plasticity. Mm. How does that TRIP effect functionally work when this metal is out in the real world? Like, what does it actually do?
So the TRIP effect is essentially this microscopic shock absorber built into the crystalline structure of the metal itself.
Okay.
Think about normal steel. If you put it under immense stress, say, in a car crash.
It bends, it yields, and eventually it just tears apart.
Right. But in a trip steel, those microscopic pockets of retained austenite we just talked about, they are just sitting there, dormant.
Like little springs.
Sort of, yeah. When the metal bends and deforms under stress, the mechanical energy actually triggers a phase change.
Wait, a phase change while it's breaking?
Yes. The austenite instantly transforms into an entirely different, incredibly hard crystalline structure called martensite.
So the metal actually gets harder and stronger at the exact location where it's being deformed.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It absorbs the energy of the impact by physically changing its own internal architecture while it's failing.
Yeah, it buys you massive amounts of structural integrity right when the material is at its absolute breaking point.
Wow.
And, you know, the real genius of this research is that the AI didn't just guess the raw chemical recipe. It mathematically predicted this entire thermal evolution.
Because they used a specific program for that, right?
Yeah. The researchers used a specialized computer program mentioned in the text. It's called MapSteel Troposteinite.
Ditchy name.
Right. But this thermodynamic model simulated the application of heat and calculated exactly how much retained austenite would survive the heat treatment and exactly how much carbon would enrich it.
So the algorithm was literally simulating the solid-state phase transformations of atoms in four dimensions.
That's one way to put it, yeah.
But, I mean, predicting an evolution on a computer screen is one thing. Testing it is another.
Oh, absolutely.
So they took the AI's recipe, they cast the metal, they applied the exact heat treatment to create those bainitic, ferrite, and retained austenite structures. How did it actually perform when they tried to destroy it?
Well, the mechanical testing results are really where the theoretical math hits the unforgiving reality of physics.
Right.
After undergoing the specific heat treatments, they recorded a tensile strength of approximately 1 gigapascal.
Wow.
Alongside a uniform elongation of 23%.
Okay, so what does this all mean? We need to ground those numbers because they are massive. Let's look at 1 gigapascal of tensile strength.
It's a lot.
It's roughly 145,000 pounds per square inch of pressure. To visualize that, imagine taking a cable of this steel that is just 1 inch thick.
Okay.
And hanging several fully loaded commercial airplanes from it before it snaps.
That really puts it in perspective.
Yeah. That is the kind of immense rigidity you need for heavy structural applications.
Hmm.
But the catch in material science is that rigidity usually equals brittleness, like glass. Glass is rigid, but you can't stretch it.
That is the universal trade-off. If you want strength, you typically sacrifice ductility.
But this AI-designed steel maintained a uniform elongation of 23%. That means you could take that same incredibly rigid bridge cable and stretch it out nearly a quarter of its original length before it breaks.
It's incredible.
It combines the strength of a heavy structural beam with the stretching capacity of a much softer metal. It is like the holy grail for engineers who need materials to absorb impacts.
Like in the chassis of a car, you want it to absorb the crash without snapping?
Exactly. And the researchers rigorously documented exactly how the steel managed to pull off this feat. The supplementary materials contain extensive sets of what they call fractographs.
Yes.
A fractograph being a microscopic photograph of the jagged, torn edge of the metal after it's been completely ripped apart by a tensile testing machine.
Yeah, because they don't just care that it broke. They need to see how it broke.
Right.
Did the dendrites hold together? Did the retained austenite properly transform into martensite and absorb the energy like the Turi-IP effect is supposed to?
So the fractographs allow them to examine the microscopic wreckage.
Precisely. And what's particularly fascinating here is that they didn't just test it at room temperature.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah, they provide fractographs for the steel tested at ambient temperature, but also for specimens tested at 125 degrees Celsius.
Okay, I have to ask, why apply heat while you're tearing it apart?
Yeah.
Like, why does 125 degrees Celsius matter?
Because the trip heat effect, that magical ability of the austenite to transform into harder martensite under stress, it's actually highly dependent on temperature.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If the metal is too hot, the retained austenite becomes too chemically stable. It basically stubbornly refuses to transform when you bend it.
Which means you lose that shock-absorbing super strength.
Exactly. Mm. So by locking a piece of this steel into a testing machine, heating it to 125 degrees Celsius, and then pulling it apart, they were subjecting it to severe thermal and mechanical stress simultaneously.
So they needed to prove that the genetic algorithm's complex thermodynamic math actually held up when the metal was hot in the real world.
Yes. They forced the physical alloy to validate the AI's calculations by destroying it in a totally hostile environment.
And looking at the data, the steel delivered.
It absolutely delivered.
It's just a staggering accomplishment when you map out the whole journey. I mean, think about it. We start with a neural network and a genetic algorithm.
Right.
They're given a constraint that normally ruins a metal drop, the silicon. The AI navigates millions of variables to find a workaround using aluminum and phosphorus. It spits out a recipe that freezes into literal microscopic branches of delta ferrite dendrites.
Which is already amazing.
And then a thermodynamic model maps out a highly specific baking process, this heat treatment, that forces the residual liquid to transform into bainite and carbon-enriched retained austenite.
The solid state transformation.
Yes. And the final physical manifestation of all this code is a metal that can hold a gigapascal of pressure, stretched by 23%, and literally change its crystalline structure while it's being crushed.
It really demonstrates that the boundaries of material science have permanently shifted. I mean, the physical laboratory is no longer the starting line for discovering materials. The digital simulation is.
Right.
The algorithm has proven it can understand the intricate dance of elements, temperatures, and microstructures far faster and more comprehensively than human trial and error ever could.
Which means the line between software engineering and heavy industry is rapidly dissolving. We aren't just digging interesting things out of the dirt anymore. We are literally writing computer code that dictates physical reality.
It's a whole new world.
It is. And there is a tiny, almost hidden detail in the supplementary materials of this paper that I want to leave you with today.
Oh, the audio clip.
Yeah. The authors provide a link to a short 2-minute audio interview with one of the researchers, Matthew Peet. 2 minutes of audio discussing this incredible leap forward. But keep in mind, this research was published back in 2007.
Almost 2 decades ago.
Exactly. Almost 20 years ago. If neural networks and genetic algorithms were already capable of calculating solid-state phase transformations, predicting carbon enrichment, and designing high-strength microstructures back then, what is sitting on the hard drives today?
That is the big question.
What uninvented, physically impossible materials are currently existing as dormant digital DNA in a computer program right now, just waiting for someone to build the foundry to print them?
It fundamentally changes how we view the future of physical infrastructure. The blueprints for the next industrial revolution likely already exist. They're just written in code we haven't manufactured yet.
It's wild to think about. Next time you walk past a towering skyscraper or see the structural frame of a new car, don't just picture a furnace and an anvil. Picture the millions of simulated digital failures, the genetic algorithms, and the glowing code that forged that metal long before the iron was ever melted.